Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Get a little preview of the past year, or a little review of the past year from all these videos. We're going to go through some of these things. My name is Ken Leslie. I'm number three reporting as an eligible pastor to preach this morning. That's for you Lions fans who stayed up last night too soon, a little too soon, right? Yeah. That's sad. I know, what a way to kick it off. But anyway, I realized last night that I preached January 1st of this year, because it was the week after Christmas, and then now I'm preaching December 31st of this year. So if you just came twice this year, the beginning and the end, or I'm bookending the whole year, you know, here we go together. But today we're gonna look at 2023 and all of the message series that we've been through, kind of remember back, recall back what God has taught us. I'm going to focus on the five message series videos you just saw. Not talking about the last series, Joy from the Lord, that Pastor Chris just got done last week teaching. I figured that was pretty fresh in her mind. I didn't need to recall that just yet. And also, there was a lot of weeks where we had an individual message or a guest speaker, and I'm not going to talk about all of them. You can always check us out on YouTube or Facebook for all of the week's archives of these things. And maybe today something I tell you, you're like, oh, I want to go back and listen to that whole message. A great way to do that is on YouTube, to go and to listen and to watch the services from this past year and earlier than that too. We've already sang a couple of songs. These are songs we introduced this year to you guys. And we've got two more coming still. So you can prepare for a couple more songs, as well as celebrating the Lord's Supper communion together near the end of the message here this morning. So you can just kind of be prepared for that. But before I begin recapping these messages, let me pray for God's blessing and wisdom and insight this morning. Father, we ask you, as we dig into these messages from this past year, we ask for your insight, we ask for your recall, for your Holy Spirit to bring back the things that we've learned, the things that you've taught us, maybe even help us to recall a specific spot we were when we heard that message and how you moved in our life, and to look at today and to remember that, and to bring our attention to you, Jesus, so that we can really finish off this year strong, focusing on you, Jesus, and the sacrifice that you paid for us so that we could have a relationship with you. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get it started with the first message series of this year. Back in January, we had a series called The Life and Times of the Holy Spirit. The Life and Times of the Holy Spirit. And this message series, really, we were looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit throughout all eternity, from eternity past to eternity future, and really all throughout the whole Old Testament, and what the Holy Spirit has been active and alive and present. In fact, you know, going into this message, sometimes I inaccurately, in my mind, compartmentalize the Holy Spirit's ministry to really just today, like the after Pentecost time. And that's inaccurate and wrong way to look at it. I could say it like this. Sometimes I compartmentalize God the Father as the Old Testament, creation, God. And then Jesus gets his time in the four Gospels in the middle there as we bridge into the New Testament. And then Pentecost happens, and we have the Holy Spirit through today. And in my mind, again, this is the wrong view. I don't want to teach you something that you're like, oh, that sounds great. That's wrong. So really, the idea that the Holy Spirit has been present and active in ministry throughout all of eternity. In fact, I would say the main idea of this series was the Holy Spirit has been active and will be active for all eternity. See, we started all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, from the time of creation. I'm going to read you some passages of Scripture. When we come to yellow print, you know what to do. Read along with me out loud. It would be wonderful. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the second verse of the Bible, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You see, here we see from the very beginning God's Spirit hovering, or as we learn, preparing and protecting the imminent creation. God's Spirit was present. And then next, through those Old Testament times, we read of God's anointing through His Spirit to the kings and the messengers that He chooses. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me." You know, this is an Old Testament passage, but it does also prophetically look forward 700 years into the future when Jesus Christ is serving in His ministry. Peter taught about Jesus in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. Peter's saying this. He teaches us, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." You see, Jesus, as God's Son here on earth, chose not to use His own power. Instead, He lived the way that you and I are supposed to live, totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to empower us for living and serving God. And that really brings us to the Holy Spirit's anointing that goes even further. We read in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." Help me. "The anointing you received from Him remains in you." See, each of us as followers of Christ, as Christians, we have received the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. And therefore, we must live in that anointing and use the gifts that He's empowered us with to build His church. Now, this anointing really, it propels us to the next teaching series that we went through right after this called Who Cares? It was a series on the book of Jonah. I always think this is funny to just be like, "Who cares?" You know, but that was the whole point, is just to really ask the question, who really cares? In fact, as we journeyed through this book of Jonah, Pastor Randy asked us the question, what's the biggest obstacle between you and revival? I thought, what a great question to ask yourself on the last day of the year as we begin to think about New Year's resolutions and thinking towards the next year. What is the biggest obstacle between me and revival? We see how Jonah was called to share the good news with the Ninevites and how he reacted. And we can learn how we are also called to share the gospel of Jesus and how we should react to that same call. In week one of this series, we learned that we must have a heart for the lost, to pray daily, to ask God to daily break our hearts for those who don't know Jesus. In week two, it was all about seeking a personal revival through repentance, that it starts with us individually. When our hearts are broken over our own state, we begin to develop that heart for those who don't know Jesus. In week three, we talked about the fact that God's grace can cover all who call upon the name of Jesus. Sometimes we think and we act that there are some that may be too far gone, you know, the axe murderers or terrorists. But we learn that God's grace is sufficient for all sinners who call upon the name of Jesus. In week four, Randy asked the question, do we even care? Sure, we'd say yes. Of course, yeah, I care. I do care. But really, does my life reflect that I care about the lost? I love how Randy ended the series, and I wanted to share it with us this morning, the little video clip. Let's watch a clip from this series.
God the Son cared so much that He left His seat in heaven next to the Father. He came down here to live as one of us. He became man, showed us what God is like, taught us what God is like, taught us, showed us the way of salvation. And then He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He was buried. he was raised to life, so that now whoever repents and trusts in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I've made a list of people I know who don't know Jesus. I pray through that list every single day. I urge you to make a list like that and begin praying regularly for those people, daily. You see, when you pray regularly for somebody, you begin caring about that person and looking for opportunities to show the love of Jesus and to give the message of Christ to them. God cares. Question is, do we care? I urge you to take the Jonah test. Look at the Jonah test. This is on your outline. And what goes in the blank is what's underlined here. Which do you care more about? A, not looking like a fanatic, or reaching lost people you know? B, which do you care more about, your house, your career, your vacations, or reaching lost people you know? C, which do you care more about, your retirement fund, or reaching lost people you know? Which do you care more about, your time to unwind after a long day? Or reaching lost people you know?
It's powerful. I echo Randy's about my time to unwind after a day, right? If there's anything maybe to take from today, this could be your 2024 resolution, something to do practically, application-wise, is have a list. Pray for lost people every day. And let's see what God does with that. I want to shift gears from the message series that we've talked about to some highlights from our church. These are just some of the SEC highlights. These aren't Sunday morning message series, but some things just to kind of let you guys know. There's been a lot of salvations and baptisms, and we've seen people who have been recovered from illness and sickness, and there's so much to celebrate. And so I'm not going to be able to cover everything, but I do want to point out a couple just kind of more business related things just to keep us all up to speed. We actually had a special meeting in June as a church because our growth has been so, we've seen so much growth in attendance as well as in tithes and offerings that we wanted to be just open to what God has for us as a church. And so in June we had a special meeting, and a couple of things to really highlight about that meeting. One was we voted to bring on an intern to serve with me, and so Dan Murphy has been my intern since then. And yeah, and he's been working in the youth ministry and learning the ropes of student ministry, and so I've been so excited to have him working with me. We also talked about the potential for how we can see more attendance growth and make more space for more people by potentially adding a third service. Now, we don't have plans like in writing on this, or we haven't come up with the actual plans for this, but we talked about, you know, what should we be doing as a church to make more space for people to come to know Jesus. And then just last month, we had our annual business meeting, which we talked about, again, more increase in attendance we've seen and giving and membership. We've seen more people become members today this year, and you probably heard it in the announcements. If you're a member and you haven't turned in your membership renewal, today's the day. There's a box in the back. You can do that. But for those of you guys who've been attending, especially if you've been attending for some time, when we have our next Exploring the Creek membership class, I want to encourage you to take that class and to go through the learning about what it means to be a member here. Doesn't mean you end up, you know, saying that you have to be a member, but it gives you the information to choose to be a member here. And we love to see more people say, yes, I want to join the team and be a member here at Stony. You know, one of the other highlights we've seen in our church is this summer we had our first ever SCC mission trip to Brazil with Chain of Love. And over the course of two individual week-long trips, so there's two trips, we saw 22 people, lots of twos in there, 2 weeks, 22 people took this trip, and they went to Brazil, and they served the families who were staying at Chain of Love, the ministry we support in Brazil. Now, there's a lot of information about that ministry, and you can find out about it at our missions table, but they went, and they shared the gospel multiple times. They led at least 10 different kids programs with over 100 kids who would come out to these programs that live on the campus of Chain of Love, where they're being cared for and taken care of. And this trip was really monumental, and it was definitely a mission to these people in Brazil, but it was also a huge ministry moment for the many Stony families that participated. They sacrificed their time, their money, and they experienced some pushback, even in travel difficulties. But they had an amazing time, and they served Jesus, and they saw Jesus do amazing things. You know, speaking of missions, here's just a quick plug for our high school mission trip in 2024. This summer, taking the high school students to Puerto Rico. And this trip is... It's going to be January 10th is our deadline for that. So I want to encourage you, if you're interested in that at all, come on January 10th and don't miss that out, that opportunity. Speaking of all those things, I thought, you know, talking about the highlights of what our ministry has been this past year, it's a good time just to pray and to think about our offering. You know, we have a chance to give our offering anytime through the link, my.stonycreek.church. You can give anytime there. We have the wooden box in the back that you can give. Again, we're only about halfway done, so don't think in your mind, oh, the offering, so we're done, I can pack up. I got a couple more series to go through and some more songs to sing. We got some more songs to sing. And so, but this is a great time really just to acknowledge that God has really done amazing things through your faithfulness of giving your tithes and offerings. And so I'd love to pray for the offering, and then we'll get back to it. Let me pray. Father, you have blessed each one of us in different ways, and I pray right now as we think about giving our tithes, our offerings to you, Father, I ask that you use these gifts to really to continue to propel forward your kingdom, that we can see more people come to know you. We can see people become better followers of you, Jesus, because of the faithfulness of giving back to you. That we can see more people in our Reach for the Streets receive information about the church and invitations and the gospel. That we can see more missions and ministry happen locally and overseas. Father, that we see lives personally changed with the gospel of Jesus, because of our faithfulness to give to you. I pray this, that you bless us in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Got a couple more teaching series to talk about. The next one is unfollow, or reasons not to follow Jesus. Reasons not to follow Jesus. Kind of a fun title there, because we looked at the deep reality of what it means to follow Jesus. And honestly, it isn't easy. It wasn't meant to be a cakewalk. It's very difficult to follow Jesus. Many people could easily come up with reasons why it's just easier not to follow Jesus. Because if you look in Matthew chapter 16, really the key verse of this series, Jesus, we're reading here, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to become my follower,'" help me out, "'he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" You see, Jesus said it's not going to be easy. It takes denying oneself. You know, this means setting aside our own personal aspirations and plans. As we look towards tomorrow, maybe as your New Year's Day resolutions are going to come, and maybe you want to, you know, be on a diet or spend less money, or you come up with all these personal things. What if one of those is, I want to deny myself more for Jesus this year? It also means taking up our cross. Following Jesus, even in the face of opposition, we must take a stand for Christ. Beyond that, it even means we need to put to death the sin nature inside of us. You see, this message is not a feel-good message that the world thinks that they want to hear, but it's the hard truth message that we need to understand. So why should we follow Christ? Well, Jesus finishes his message in the next two verses. He says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his life? Or what can a person give in exchange for his life?" You see, not only will we be rewarded with eternity when we follow Christ, but we'll live in eternity worshiping and bringing him glory, the glory that he's due. And in fact, that brings us to the next series I want to look at, what's after life? What's after life? You know, focusing on eternity and thinking of that perspective, this series looked at eternity in the broad spectrum of even the good eternity and the bad eternity, or I would say the bad eternity being separated from God for all eternity, or the good eternity being connected relationally with God forever. You know, in this series, we learn that death means separation. When the Bible uses the word death and talks about death, it means this separation. And our physical death will separate our body and our soul. Every one of us will eventually die and be separated from our body and soul, unless the Lord returns. But spiritual death is when we are separated from God for eternity. As followers of Christ, the good news is that we don't have to experience spiritual death ever because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We can live eternally connected relationally with God. In fact, the main idea from the very first message in this series was real life is all about a relationship with Jesus. For those of us who would call ourselves followers of Jesus, you can see how this is connected with the previous series. The relationship with Jesus and the eternity with him is worth surrendering everything in this life. The final teaching series I want to highlight here is called Kingdom Come. We're getting used to victory, talking about the kingdom of God. It was a six-part series based in Mark chapter 1. And it says this, this is Jesus talking. He says, "The time has come," he said. Help me. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." You see, Jesus' main idea for his entire ministry was simply this: repent and believe that the kingdom of God has come near. God's kingdom is what our life is all about. Everything we do should be pointing to his kingdom. Now, sometimes we think in our mind this kingdom is this, you know, cosmic battle going on around us. The angels and demons, some scene from The Lord of the Rings maybe. You know, this battle, and we're just pawns in this kingdom. But really, God's story, the Word of God, is all about his defeat of that rebellion that causes that battle. And he did this through Jesus' ministry, his death and resurrection. That's why we can say the kingdom of God has come. But as we look forward to Jesus' second coming, this is when the full realization of the kingdom of God will come. You see, we can say the kingdom of God is already and not yet. It has come and it will come. And so we anxiously await these wonderful words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. He says, "The renewal of all things when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne." You see, you and I who follow Christ have been renewed. But one day all of creation will experience this same renewal. As we close off today's time of message, we're going to spend some time reflecting on what Jesus has done to bring this renewal to us individually by celebrating communion together. And I'm going to invite the elders down front, and we're going to prepare to have the plate passed, and the praise team's going to come up, and they're going to lead us in a song. As we pass this plate, we'll sing a song together, and so grab a juice and a cracker and two cups stacked together and hold on to it until we're done singing the song together, thanking Jesus for his blood. And so just hold on to that, and then when we're done with the song, I'll invite us all to participate in communion together. I do want to tell you there's a gluten-free option in the communion tray. You'll see it clearly marked there. So as the tray passes, if you're gluten-free, you can grab one of those. If you're not, you can choose to not take those, to leave it for somebody who is gluten-free. But there's that option available. But let me tell you this, or say this to you too, is that this time of communion is a time to reflect and to repent and to be restored in that relationship with Jesus. And so perhaps you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus just yet. You're, you know, attending church, or you're just kind of seeing how this is, and you're not really, you say, "I'm not a Christian." Then just let the plate pass by. We wouldn't want you to say something about yourself that isn't true. But really, honestly, better yet, this could be the day that you say yes to Jesus. "Jesus, I want to follow you with my whole life." December 31st, 2023, I'm going to close off the year saying yes to Jesus and surrendering my life to following him. You know, I'm going to pray, and I pray that if the Lord is tugging on your heart, that perhaps you just in your heart right now, just pray to the Lord and say, "Yes, I want to surrender my life to following you." For those of you who are followers of Jesus, use this time to reflect, to ask God to revive your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for the cross, the penalty that you paid so that my sin could be forgiven. But Jesus, I pray that in this moment, I remember to repent even today of the sin in my heart that stays there, that I need to just want to see you clean up. Lord, restore me. Revive me. I pray that you help us in this moment of communion together to celebrate what you have done on the cross for us. We love you, Jesus. Amen.